Hey, are you feeling guilty? Most religious people do. We're not doing enough. We're not serving enough. We're not being enough. We should be the Good Samaritan. Well, I'm going to teach you how to get there and how to be that on the next More Faith, More Life podcast.
You were made for more than the status quo. I'm Pastor Steve Gray, and this is the More Faith, More Life podcast. This podcast is for Christians with an ambitious heart who want to be more for their family, do more with their career, and see more of God's promises in their life. I've spent many years as a worship artist, minister, nonprofit leader, bold truth speaker, and most importantly, father and spouse. When I was in my early 40s, I was craving more, from God and more from life. I'd done everything I was supposed to do. My life was good, but it wasn't good enough. So I spent the following years diving into the Word of God and searching for the biblical principles that would bring me closer to God and help my purpose and life flourish. That's what I want to share with you. In every episode, you'll get practical tools based on real life experiences that you can put into action to redefine your faith and ultimately your life. So, if you're ready to do more, subscribe to More Faith, More Life, and hear an unfiltered biblical truth every week. It's time to be and experience more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another More Faith, More Life podcast. I'm here with my wife, Kathy, and we are going to tell you some great, great things today that'll be so, so helpful in your walk, in your life, and your understanding. And what we're going to do is, I think, Kathy, you had the idea that why don't we today start a series on the parables in the book of Luke?
That's right. And you know, you are well known for taking the parables, especially in the book of Luke, and developing them and then presenting the real depth of them to people, where people are thinking, oh yeah, I learned that in Sunday school. And then suddenly you hit them with the real revelation of what that parable is about. And like I said, you're well known for this.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe we could talk about some parables.
Okay, well, let's to help us understand it then. You're right about parables. And one of the reasons why it works for me is that I do two things. First of all, I keep it into context with the original audience. And the problem that people do today is they take a scripture, they lift it out, and they start applying it to our lives immediately when that's out of context with what was really being said. And so we miss the overall meaning of it. And then the next thing that I do is, as you've heard me say many times, when you read a parable, it only should have one or two main messages. Everything else is what they used to call like rabbit trails, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it'll have a line about this or a line about that. And next thing you know, somebody's preaching that line. It's all a setup. It's all a cultural setup. For those that like to study, you can take that and learn from that. It's a cultural setup. Mm-hmm. He sets up parables within the framework of their lives so they understand it. And we're going to see one today, which is one of the most well-known parables that you picked out to talk about today. And we're going to put it in the framework of things that they understood were really happening.
Right.
A parable teaches us something, but it's around, most of them are framed around things that were really happening. So like when we'll talk about the parable, the unjust judge who doesn't care about people, he doesn't care about God, and a widow comes and says, give me justice. Well, the chances are that is something that people see. Widows had to go fight for themselves.
Yeah.
And so Jesus takes that, molds it around what he wants it to say in a parable. And so we really need to not get off on too many different things. It's like grab the one thing or two things this is about. And that's what we'll do today. Yeah. So you picked one.
From Luke chapter 10. And this is where a religious scholar came to Jesus and asked him a question. He said, "Teacher, what requirement must I fulfill if I want to live forever in heaven?" And so do you think of that one already?
Yeah, all right. So you and I know where we're going. If you don't know, this is the framing up the parable of what's called the Good Samaritan.
Right.
I don't think his name was Good. And his last name wasn't Samaritan. He was a Samaritan, but that's, you know, A good Samaritan. Whatever, yeah. And in our culture, a good Samaritan does good deeds. You know, you stop on the highway right. and help somebody out. Oh, a good Samaritan stopped. Right. Okay, so that's kind of our level of theology, and we need to do better
right.
than that.
Definitely.
Now, the reason this is important, what I said about reading parables, we're getting set up for a parable, right?
Yeah.
And it's set up by this man asking this question
yes.
is going to trigger the parable. But the parable is not about what he just asked.
Right. It is okay? not. Yeah.
It's a good question.
Uh-huh.
Now, for you that do like theology and doctrine, we picked this from the...
The Passion
thank
Translation.
You. Yeah. The Passion Translation. Mm-hmm. And... it's been very, very helpful to a lot of people. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
But I also realized that it is framed up in kind of an elementary way, which is good sometimes.
Right.
And so this first statement is, as much as I like the and know who these people
right.
are that wrote this, I don't like that statement
right.
because it's not culturally correct. Okay, here's the way we see it, that a man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to have eternal life so when I die, I can go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we think he said. Now we've lost totally. We're out of the parable. We're out of the situation. And we're totally out of their culture. Because in their day, the Jewish culture did not think about going to heaven. There's nothing in there about them thinking someday we're going to go up. You know, now we know Jesus told the thief on the cross that today you'll be with me in paradise, meaning there is a setup that God has provided when people leave this earth and they leave their bodies on this earth dead, that they have a place to go and stay and be ready for what's next, which is really what this is so important to get.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So it's really more about yeah. they were thinking, the idea is we believe God is going to come down and heaven will come down. And the kingdom is coming down. So their thinking was all, when he says, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?
Yeah.
The Jewish person of the first century never would think so that I can leave the earth. Because they were promised the earth.
Yes.
They were promised the promised land.
Yeah.
They promised the land.
Right.
And so
the land.
They're thinking, what must I do to be with you and inherit the earth when you come down in your kingdom and restore everything, life, like a Garden of Eden restoration, but restore Israel too.
Yeah.
And that's what he means.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't get that, then all of a sudden you'll start doing a sermon on what?
Yeah.
Going to heaven.
Yeah. Now,
if you were to die today, like, oh gosh.
Oh my.
So this is complicated.
That's very good,
it's
though.
Complicated
yeah.
because we are so
right.
dipped into us getting and going up. Rather than he read about Jesus and his teachings were coming down. Even when he says, I go to prepare a place for you,
mm-hmm.
that's not, there again, that has nothing to do with us going up. It sounds like it because
yeah.
that's what we've been indoctrinated.
Right.
But it's a Jewish teaching. It's based on the Jewish
mm-hmm.
wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're Ooh. Thinking, if I say, I go to prepare mm-hmm. a place for you because we're going to get married, well, then you go, I get it. That means we're going to be together. We're going to be together, aren't we? Forever and ever. Okay? So it's a picture of the husband or the betrothed would go and say, and he would have to add on to his father's house. He'd build a room or extra
right.
rooms.
Yeah.
And then when the father saw that it was suitable enough for the house and the bride and the family, Then he would send him to go get his bride, and the husband or the betrothed man had no idea when he was going to go. So therefore, Jesus said, "No man knows the hour, only the Father." Well, they don't go like they didn't scratch their head and said, "Who ever heard of such a thing? Oh, it's a big secret." They saw it every day in their culture. The father would tell the husband to be,
yeah.
"Go get your bride now. Go."
Mm.
And go doesn't mean go get him and take him here.
Right.
It means go get him and start living together united.
Mm.
So that day is coming when Jesus,
Powerful.
And then Jesus said that after he taught all that other mm-hmm. stuff about the rooms and all that, he said, and so where I'll be with you then, see where you are, we're going to be together.
Wow.
Okay, so the whole thing
yeah.
has nothing to do
right.
with you got a ruin in heaven. Oh,
wow.
And this is, I'll take
oh,
the time just
yeah.
to say this.
Uh-huh.
I can still get through some of this parable. Do you know one of the reasons why that I have the songs like A Mansion Over the Hilltop and There's a Room for Me in Heaven? A lot of those songs came out during the Depression when people lost their homes, mm-hmm. lost their jobs, and lost their homes. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to sing about, but you know what? I've got a house in heaven. So that only reinforced bad theology,
yeah.
but you can understand it because yeah. it was soothing to them
yeah.
and gave them hope.
Yeah.
But you can still have it, even though I didn't want to ruin that hope for you. But it's even better
yes.
because it's not about going up. It's about our bodies will come up out of the grave, but Jesus is coming down. And that's why he told them when they were staring up to heaven when he went up, the angel said, why are you standing yeah. there looking up? Come on, he's coming back down. So it's just the flip side,
yeah.
and we won't get it if we don't go back to history,
yeah.
theology, and doctrine that the first century Jews and Christians had mm-hmm. their understanding. So when they read their Bible, mm-hmm. they knew Jesus was framing yeah. it up around real things.
Mm-hmm.
So he frames up that about, I go to prepare a place for you. That's yeah. framed up about a real wedding. Now, yeah. so this is not
Shoot.
About dying and going to heaven,
right.
even though that's what
no.
this passion says.
Yeah.
It's about eternal life. I want to be in the eternal kingdom when it takes over the world,
Correct.
This earth. On earth. How do I get to be here? Okay.
Beautiful.
Great theology. I hope. Oh, please get it.
Yeah,
okay.
Get
go.
That. All
What's
right.
Next?
So then Jesus continued visiting with the guy and everything. And finally the guy said, you know, I know what I'm supposed to do. Love God and love my neighbor as myself. And then Jesus said, that's correct. So go on and do what you want to do and live. And though then the Bible says, wanting to justify himself, he questioned Jesus further. What do you mean by my neighbor? So then Jesus went on into this parable. Listen, I'll tell you, there was once a Jewish man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho when bandits robbed him along the way. They beat him severely, stripped him naked, and left him half dead. Soon a Jewish priest came walking down the road, and he saw him and walked on the other side of the road and not turning to help him one bit. Then a religious guy, a Levite, came, another religious type guy, came walking down the street. He saw the guy, the wounded man. So he likewise crossed on over to the other side of the street to avoid helping or viewing or anything the wounded man. Finally, another man, a Samaritan, came upon
let's back up and just talk about these religious people.
You want to talk about these religious guys?
Yeah, we've got time
Sounds
to do that.
Good. Okay,
but
yeah.
there's a little bit of theology that we went through again
yes.
that doesn't fit because I've had people really confused about this because he says, if you take it, what must I do to inherit eternal life
right.
and go to heaven? That's what people hear,
yeah, and
right?
go to heaven.
And Jesus said, what's the law say? And he says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, that's right. Do that and you will live. Isn't that what he asked?
Yes.
How do I live eternally?
Right.
In heaven.
Do that.
According to this. That's
yeah.
what we hear.
Yeah.
Then they
yeah.
say, well, wait a minute. Jesus gave the wrong answer because he should have said, believe in me and then you can live and have eternal life.
Right.
But if it's not about that, it makes sense that the Jewish people were told from the very beginning that if you want to inherit the earth, be an inheritor of the kingdom of God, you got to love God first, and then he tacked on love your neighbor as yourself. So it really makes good sense. It's theologically
right.
thick with truth, and we just got to keep it where it is. All right, so anyway, so now Jesus frames up this around real instances. What's the guy doing? A man is traveling,
yeah, he's traveling.
And it's dangerous.
And
everybody
dangerous.
Knows it's dangerous. People were robbed on that
yeah.
road all the time, beat up, robbed, stolen from.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to be very careful, maybe travel with other people or whatever. And so when they said the man was traveling there and if somebody came and beat him up and left him half dead, they didn't go like, what? I don't understand. They go, yeah, that's true. I've heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's a parable, but yeah. I've heard that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's real to them, okay?
Okay.
And now they can get a
okay.
real picture of a man in a ditch bleeding. Maybe he'll die, maybe he'll live. Sounds like he's going to live, but he's in bad shape, half dead. Now mm-hmm. comes the part of the real teaching, because mm-hmm. it's not about getting beat up. It's not about going to heaven, right? It's not about that road's dangerous. You shouldn't have been so stupid in walking on it. We could all do that.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
The first lesson, we don't want to get too many lessons. The first one is two religious guys who are Jewish also. Now, we're going to learn in a minute that the man who got beat up, well, we already know he's Jewish. I mean, obviously, this is a Jewish story.
Yeah.
But he's going to get help from a non-Jew, which is part of the story. But mm-hmm. But what happens is then here's a Jewish man in the ditch, half dead, and a Jewish leader, a priest, walks on the other side. Now, there's a reason, because if he goes over and gets blood on his hands, then he's going to have to go get purified, and he's going to have to quit his routine and do all the ritual stuff. Well, he doesn't want to do that. And then the Levite does the same thing. He walks on the other side of the road, too. Notice it's not just not just walk on by. He distanced himself. He doesn't want to get near it. He doesn't want to get blood on him. He doesn't want to be a part of any of it, because then they would have to go through purification and that. And so it would. And they could. Mm-hmm. They could help the guy and go through that. But, you know, I don't want to disrupt my life. You know, I'm busy. I got things to do. So they just ignore it. Mm-hmm. Now, the breakdown of it is they should have what Jesus wanted religious people of that day to do, who did follow the laws. What he wanted to do is, there are times when you're not going to break the law, but love overrides the law, a greater law. Love your neighbor as yourself, mm-hmm. right? Love God and love your neighbor. That's the key to this. Mm-hmm. So the lesson then is, for people listening, is if you're in trouble and your heart's broken, you feel like, I'm about half dead too, and you still go to church, or you're still religious, you still believe in God, but you're stuck, not going anywhere, I don't know, all the stuff. You know, it's all symptoms, right? But here's what the first part of the parable is. Religion is not going to help you. Religion will walk on the other side, okay? Yes. But that is what you would expect. Yes. You'd expect the priest to help him. Yeah. You expect the Levite to help him. They're Jewish. They're leaders. You would expect them to say, I get it. I know God well enough that I don't want to go through that ritual. It just gets mm-hmm. me off my schedule, you know. But they would go, wait a minute, that's not important. I need to go help the man. But they couldn't override their religion and their own, wow. what do you call it, like, just, it's just, in, disrupts your life. It would disrupted their life, you know. So, that's the first lesson. Is a lot of people are going to churches and around religion, but they're not getting any help.
Right.
Religion is walking on the other side. And it's not most today's churches and religions are not set up to help people get better. It's set up to maintain a ministry, and those people are going to help maintain that. And then they're just going to help you maintain. We're going to maintain our church like it is. We're not going to change anything. And we're going to help you maintain your life. Okay, so religion walked on the other side. The man's still in the ditch. Looks like he's helpless. He's probably going to die now.
Yeah,
okay,
that's what it looks
then
like.
Then Jesus said, but you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And the guy just, you know, he just shot himself in the foot. You know, leave well enough alone when Jesus is trying to teach you something.
Neighbor.
Don't ask questions. So he says, okay. Well, who is my neighbor?
Yeah.
Now comes a Samaritan. Ooh. Now we have to set this up.
Yeah.
Samaritans and Jews, well, some of them hated each other.
Right.
There's discord, hate. In fact, a normal Jew in traveling would not even walk through Samaria. They would mm-hmm. walk around it just to have nothing to do with them. Jesus did, though. Jesus walked through Samaria.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, the most unlikely help comes.
Yes.
Help comes.
Yes, help
but
comes.
Here's your next lesson. But help came from an unexpected place or person. Mm. So that means it's not going to fit the religious way you were brought up and say, well, I didn't grow up in a church like that, or my family wasn't that religious and we didn't pray that much. You want help. You're not going to get it from that. So you got to be wide open that God sends help from unexpected places, and you got to be wide open for it. So here's a Samaritan that normally he's the one that would walk on the other side, and he wouldn't care. And Jews would do the same thing with the Samaritan.
Right, exactly.
But obviously the Jews did it to themselves too. Well, he comes and fixes the guy up and gets him, bandages him, gets him going, takes him back to the hotel, an inn, and pays for it.
Yeah.
And then another clue, and then he says, and if this isn't enough, here's where we were a little bit ago, I will come back. Who's coming back? So there's a clue there.
Okay.
I will come back and pay the rest and take care of anything, any bill left over.
Yeah.
All right.
Beautiful.
Then when it's over with, there is shock and awe. There's shock and awe because you would not, the Jewish man would not know what to do with this. A Samaritan, we hate them. Now he's the hero of the story. Our priests and our Levites are kind of the bad guys. You know, just it's topsy-turvy, backwards. And then Jesus did that a lot. He flipped a lot of things the other way in your thinking, and he still does that in your mind. He flips it. But anyway, so now he's stuck with that. And when Jesus asks him, well, which, what's he asking me? I should let you say that now. Which one?
Well, so now tell me, which one of the three men who saw the wounded man proved to be the true neighbor?
Now, I don't know how the Passion Bible says it, but in the actual teaching of the parable, it caught the man, and he goes, well, I guess the third man. He doesn't even say, he doesn't say Samaritan, or does he? In this
Now, in this version, it says, the one who demonstrated kindness and mercy.
And that's not correct. It's, yes, it's correct for the level of this that we're learning.
Yeah.
But no, it actually, he had to say, I suppose. He would not say that one in the original. He didn't say, well, it was that guy. He said, well, I guess it was the Samaritan, I guess. You know, okay, that's how he answered it. Well, then we get, now we're down to another lesson. Then Jesus says, go and do likewise. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a powerful statement, but it can be what it did to me, and it does a lot of people, is, well, that's what Christianity is then. Go and be a good Samaritan. That's what it means to believe in Jesus and go do good deeds.
Yeah.
Well, that's so far from the truth. That doesn't fit at all. Yet, he did say it. And so what we find is that we do want to do that. We do want to be that Samaritan. We want to notice. We don't want to walk on the other side of problems and situations. Mm-hmm. And we want to become the person that we need to be by the Spirit of God, obviously, not in our own works or our own power, okay? But in reality, with my own life, as you know, I told this story before, that didn't work for me because I wanted to be a good Samaritan. My fourth grade Sunday school teacher had little stick figures, and you know, they had the priest, the Levite, the beat up man, and then the good Samaritan. He was a little bigger guy too. He had a bigger stick, the good Samaritan. And so she'd say, and same thing. She asked the same question. She'd say, okay, fourth graders, who wants to be the priest? And I don't want to be the priest. Raise your hand if you want to be the Levite. No, I don't want to be the Levite. How many of you want to be the good, are going to be the good Samaritan? We all, yay, we all raise our hands. So we get that inside of us that I'm not a good enough person if I'm not a good enough Samaritan. See, I'm not good enough. I lack. I want to help people, sort of, but I don't want to be inconvenienced either, you know? So all this goes off, and we're trying to be good on our level of convenience and our level of what fits us and our level of financially. Like, we don't want to give too much money because we want to stay comfortable and make sure we're taken care of. It just, it goes on and on and on. But yet that hangs over. It's like, but that's what I should be doing. I know I should be serving more. I know I should do more. I know I probably should become a missionary to where?
I don't know.
Greenland.
I was going to say Taiwan.
Greenland.
Greenland.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Okay. So all that goes off. Yeah. All right. So I learned something from this. So first of all, the end result is we want to become that Samaritan spirit with that spirit. That's the end of this, right? There's so many other lessons in this, though, that we learned that Jesus framed it around real life. All right.
Okay.
Well, for me then, I came to a point in my life where, you know, it was just awful. It was just terrible. Things did. Could I say it's not my fault? Probably not totally say, well, not my fault. But then a lot of it wasn't my fault. You know that. And it just, you know, all of a sudden I felt like that man in the ditch. And I go like, this isn't supposed to happen. I'm in the ministry now at this time in my life, and I'm the good Samaritan, but I'm not. I know I should be. So now I even feel worse about myself because I know I should be, but I'm not. But and so I had to go back to fourth grade. And I hear the teacher saying, you know, okay, which one of you is the priest? Nope. Okay. Which one of you is the Levite? Nope. And then now, you know, when it hit me, that's when I heard, which one of you is the Good Samaritan? I thought, not me. I can't raise my hand. You know why? Because I'm the one left for dead. I want to be the Good Samaritan, but I'm beat up. I'm beat up by life and situations and circumstances and wrong thinking, bad theology, you know, religion that doesn't work, and I don't know what to do and why it doesn't work for me, things like that. Beat up till where I'm not dead. I'm not spiritually dead. I still believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But the practical side of my life is half dead. The outward things, the circumstances, the way I feel, the way my emotions, everything rolling along, that part is half dead. Technically, I'm saved as saved can be on the inside, but outside, right. I'm not saved. I need to be rescued. And so then I had to realize I'm not the Good Samaritan. I'm going to have to let Jesus be my Good Samaritan and let him come, bandage me up, put me back together, spend some time in recovery with Jesus. Spend some time as we read the Bible, learn how to think about the Lord, prayer, getting back into some kind of a spiritual life and a spiritual routine as Jesus says here, I'll bandage you up, put you up in the hotel, and if you need more, I'll come back and help you. Now, that's the end of the parable, except when he says, be like the Good Samaritan, that means that's where we're going. That's what he's going to make us. Yeah. But we can't do it in our own strength, and we can't cause ourselves more anxiety, fear and anxiety, because we know we should be, but we know we're not. We need some repair.
Yes.
We need to be the man or woman left half dead, and Jesus will come, and that's what the term revival is to us, isn't it?
Yes.
Life coming back to the half dead.
Yeah.
And the church is full of half deads,
yes.
Millions every week. And God wants to come and really do something in our day. But we got to realize, we got to quit having that, I'm better, I'm not that bad, I'm really a good Samaritan on the inside. Well, maybe. But if you want to advance, and we want to have a move of God that sweeps our country and cleans up our hearts, not just our politics or not just crime, cleans up our hearts and minds, then we're going to have a move of God. And we're going to have to let Jesus be the Good Samaritan in our lives. Till next time. Bye-bye.